This is On the Porch. I'm Silas House. Kevin Neil Gardner is one of my favorite artists, and he has a couple drawings appearing in a great new exhibit opening in Cincinnati, so I'm really glad to have him on the show to talk about his work. Kevin is a native of Michigan and Washington State. He earned a BA in Liberal Arts from St. John's College in Annapolis, a certificate in painting from the Pennsylvania Academy of the Fine Arts, Philadelphia, and an MFA in painting from Indiana University, Bloomington. In addition to his time in Philadelphia studying art, Kevin worked administratively for many years with the Philadelphia Mural Arts Program, a celebrated public art and arts education organization. Kevin is currently associate professor of painting and drawing at Berea College, where he teaches all levels of painting and drawing, as well as teaching a writing seminar focused on literature and philosophy. Since 2012, he's taught drawing through travel courses in Italy, Ireland, Spain, and Turkey. Gardner has exhibited in solo and group shows nationally and is the recipient of numerous awards and accolades for his art. His paintings are full of vibrant color and possess a deep understanding of the human form, as well as containing a multitude of stories. While we're talking to him, I hope you might go to his website. It's Kevin Neil Gardner. That's KevinNeilGardner.com, and look at some of his very fine work. Thank you so much for being here with us today, Kevin.
Thank you, Silas, for having me. Very happy to be here on the porch.
Well, let's just get right into your art. What would you say is the main theme of your work as an artist? And should I call you an artist or a painter, or what do you like to be called?
Yeah, I usually call myself a painter.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a difficult question. You know, I think my work covers a wide range of typical painting genres. I paint usually people, places, and things, and it's hard to really think about a theme that defines it all, but really vulnerability is something that I find myself going back to again and again.
Hmm.
This can be the vulnerability of an individual person, often somebody who's isolated. It could be the vulnerability of a moment, of a memory, but also very much the idea of the vulnerability of an artist. One of the things I like to do in my painting and my drawing is to really show the artistic process, to reveal the way that an image unfolds through both adding and subtracting, through both doubt and through confident mark making.
Hmm. I often see a lot of movement in your paintings. I mean, do you set out to do that, or is that just the mark of a good painting?
No, I think that you can have, I don't know, any different types of paintings, but I think what's interesting about painting is the idea that it's inherently still, right? There mm-hmm. is no movement at all,
right.
And that in any moment captured in a painting, a scene, the idea of what's about to happen, what's already happened, what's going on, it can all be implied, and it's something I very much like to explore.
Mm-hmm. Well, another thing that I really love about your paintings is that I think they always really tell a story, and they're enigmatic, but it's also easy to fish a story out of them. Maybe that's just the way I look at paintings, or is that something you're really thinking of when you're painting? Or are you operating purely, you know, are you only thinking about colors and visuals? And
no, I don't know if I'm thinking about a story. I really am not. When I'm putting together, especially a scene with people, a figurative scene, it's interesting, you know. I think that a way a painting starts for me is often with a visual. I'll see something, and it could be in a newspaper clipping, a photograph. It could be something I see in historic art. It could be something I see in the world around me, but it'll be something that really stays with me, mm-hmm. and this will just compel me in a way to create that painting. And for a long time, really, that was the thing that I was mostly focused on, whether or not it was a painting about people. But really, you know, through talking with writers, I mean, it's strongly influenced the way that I treat figurative paintings. And I've really been thinking a lot about character, the idea that I'd be painting an individual has character, and somebody I wanted to get to know through the painting.
So do you walk through the world and you just happen to catch sight of things that you think, oh, that would make for a good painting? Or is it the other way around, where you sort of never turn that off, like, you know, that you're just, that things present themselves always as something that would be good in a painting?
Yeah, I don't know if I can ever really predict when it will happen, it's just there will be something that really just catches my attention and it just lingers, it stays with me.
Mm-hmm.
I imagine writing is like this also, where there's something that just that you focus on and it stays in your mind. And for me, for painting, it's very much that. I'll see something and I won't lose sight of it, and it kind of brings me to that painting. You know, I felt like I first actually started becoming a painter when I started to see the world in paint.
Mm.
And that's, you know, that brings up very much these formal issues of painting, of seeing things in terms of color and volume and space. You know, I mean, I think what is often so interesting about painting is that it is essentially oily mud, right? It's just this muck that you're sort of moving around on the surface, but you can somehow manage to convince people that it is a scene, that it is light, right, that it's, you know, a feeling.
And so are you also thinking about texture when you're working on a painting?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I mean, I think that, you know, texture is probably, as I've advanced as an artist, one of the things I've most thought about, the idea of really creating a rich, developed layer texture in a painting.
Hmm.
And this really also goes to the idea of showing that sort of staging of a painting, or even having a painting that has various levels of resolution, some very detailed, some very open, to show that type of process. And it's kind of going back to what I was saying a moment ago, this idea of the vulnerability of an artist of really wanting to show that, what it means to sort of doubt a painting, but also to create it.
That makes me think about, you know, as someone who's written plays, so much depends on the production. Yeah. And I've been really lucky because the productions of my plays, they've just done such a beautiful job. But you're sort of, you know, you're at the will of whoever is producing your play. So I wonder about, like, when your paintings are put up in a gallery, for instance, or even in somebody's home, are you sort of at the mercy of how they have lit your painting?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. No, I think it makes a huge difference. And I think, you know, most galleries really want to show the work as well as they can. And it's usually very beautifully lit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's also at the mercy of how just any person is going to perceive it at that moment, what they're feeling, you know, what they're taking with them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, you grew up in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, spent your teenage years in Seattle, spent college in Maryland and Philadelphia, Indiana.
Yeah.
And you've been in Kentucky for what, about 7 years?
Yeah, just over 7 years.
Do you think that living in the South or Kentucky has changed your art or the way you think about art?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I don't know how a place couldn't influence an artist, especially, you know, somebody such as myself who takes so much from looking at the world around him. I've borrowed from the Kentucky landscape a number of times in scenes. I do a number of paintings of looking at windows. But I've also, you know, just thinking about being an artist, living in Kentucky and living in this region really has brought me to think about what it means to be an artist in the United States, and really to see so much art that centers itself on the East and the West Coast. I don't know, it can be troubling sometimes to really think about the way that I think people can think about Kentucky and see art happening here, and it's been important to me to really try to change some impressions about that.
Right. Yeah. As a novelist, as a writer, especially when I was starting out, I often worried about sending my work out and them seeing that Kentucky zip code, or, you know, seeing Kentucky on that, and wondering if that made them consume the writing in a particular way, or, you know, come to it.
Yeah.
Sort of. Do you ever worry about that?
Yeah, very much so. I mean, I think when I'll go someplace else, I mean, I was at a residence in Vermont recently, or just go to visit my family or my friends in Seattle or out on the East Coast. I often will just sort of see, especially from people I don't know, a certain level of confusion that I've chosen to live in Kentucky. They'll give me this one face that I've really come to recognize, which is the "so you live in Kentucky" face.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, living here has brought me very much to realize that the content that I wish to paint has rural and Midwestern themes in it. You know, I grew up in this very small town in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan,
right,
a very isolated place.
And very similar to the culture in Eastern Kentucky in lots of ways.
In many ways, yeah. Yeah. There's a history of mining there. It's just that being here brought me to that content in a way that I never would have had when I was living in Philadelphia or even in Indiana when I was in graduate school.
I always say that perception people have makes me, even though I can understand, you know, that I realize the complexity of the place and the problems with the place, but the fact that people see me in a negative connotation because of where I'm from makes me more proud of where I'm from, you know? Well, you are listening to On the Porch. I'm your host, Silas House. This is WUKY 91.3 listener-supported radio, And we're talking to artist, painter, Kevin Gardner. I've heard a lot of writers and musicians lately talking about how art is a form of resistance and how some of these artists believe that it must be a form of resistance in our current political landscape. How do you feel about that?
I worry about the idea of art having to be one thing, that it must be moral or it must be political or it must be didactic. That concerns me. I also worry about the idea that art could be, or a painting especially, could be simply defined by a succinctly stated statement. I look for complexity in painting, and so it concerns me when there's such a very, very particular message a painting has to give that it's losing that complexity.
Right. Sort of on that same token, there's so much threat to arts funding these days. We keep hearing about it in the news, especially in Kentucky. Why is art important? Why should we fund art? Why should we care about art?
You know, it's so easy to fall into cliches in answering a question like that. The idea of a great society deserves great art and all of that. But the cliches are there for a reason. Art is the best of us. It's the best conversation that we can have. The way that we would find empathy or find nuance and here too complexity of meaning in the conversations that we would have about literature and about painting, about just art in general, it just seems so much would be lost by cutting funding for that. And it often seems like cutting that funding has to do with worry about controversy or a worry that art has to be just a luxury. And I don't see it that way. It seems to be the most important part of the society we live in.
Well, you have a couple pieces in a show at the Manifest Gallery in Cincinnati. I understand this is a really great gallery. Can you tell us just a little bit about the exhibit?
Yeah, it's Drawn 2018. It's an international juried competition. It's bringing in artists from Europe and the United States. It's I think it's the fifth annual time they've done this exhibition. Very much looking forward to seeing this work come together. Manifest does great work up in Cincinnati and bringing together arts, and also it has a mission for drawing and figure drawing sessions that happen up there. The show is going to be up through really through the end of April into the end of May.
One of the great things about Lexington, where our show is based, is Gallery Hop.
Yeah.
And so I'm sure that some of our listeners have seen your work during Gallery Hop. What are some of the local places they would have seen your work?
They would have seen my work at Antower Gallery. Mm-hmm. That's where I showed until relatively recently. Antower is, the gallery is no longer there any longer.
Yes.
But that's where they would have seen my work. I think in particular, a few years ago, I had a show of large football-themed paintings.
Mm. And didn't you have something at Georgetown College?
Yes, recently at Georgetown College, there was a state of drawing show or state of the art show, and it was professors from throughout Kentucky showing work there. I showed a group of drawings that were very much about this one person seen within repeated moments of time and the layering of that person in those moments together.
I know that you love music because we've talked about that before. Otherwise, I wouldn't have known about your love for Brandi Carlile. But I'm curious if you paint to music or do you need silence?
I almost always paint to music.
Yeah?
Yeah. Do you write to music, Silas?
I do, but most writers that I know don't. Most people write in silence.
I paint to music to distract the little part of my mind that seeks that distraction. And I try to find just the right music for the mood that doesn't take too much attention, but just sort of keeps my mind occupied in that way.
So it wouldn't necessarily be like I imagine a painter painting to, like, I don't know, something really loud and boisterous and fast. I mean, does tempo come into play? You know, like that Ed Harris movie, what was it? Was
the Pollock one?
Yeah.
The Jackson Pollock movie?
You know, where he's just throwing paint at the canvas and the music is booming. And
yeah, I don't play like that. I think sometimes artists in movies are ridiculous.
Right.
I think the Javier Bardem character and Vicky Cristina Barcelona is especially one of the sort of cheesiest of the artist film.
It's an idealized.
Yeah. Speaking of cliches, but like,
like Carrie in Sex and the City, that drives me nuts. You know, this writer who has all this money and she writes one column a week.
You don't write like that. That's not what your life is like. No, you know, sometimes it really does depend on what I feel like listening to. And I listen to a pretty wide range of music. I love listening to Bach. That's a go-to often. Mm-hmm. I love listening to Whitney Houston. She's a favorite for painting. Postmodern Jukebox is another a good example. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're all kind of typical go-tos, but it's a pretty wide range.
Well, I know that you're a great reader, and I have seen paintings of yours that literature has influenced as well. So I always like to ask my guest for book recommendations, because I know my listeners are readers, and I am too. So what's the last book you read that you would encourage us to read?
Well, since we're talking about art, I was thinking, you know, I think that a graphic novel, it might be a good recommendation. And Black Hole by Charles Burns is an excellent one. It's I don't know if you've ever read it, but it's beautifully illustrated, and it's by Charles Burns himself, and it's written by him. And it's a very unexpected and it's a very unusual story. And I think if any of your listeners really like fantasy, this is a good graphic novel for them. In particular, it brings a kind of personal truth to the fantasy genre.
As a child, were you aware of graphic novels or?
Yeah, I think I was collecting comic books around the time I was 13 or 14. So this is the late 80s, early 90s. And there were graphic novels, but they seemed to be mostly putting together series. So I think about something like Dark Knight Returns. I think that was the first time I remember reading something that could really, to me, was a graphic novel. But I don't think it was originally published as one. Yeah.
Do you find that most artists as young people are drawn to comic books because it's a more visual form?
I know I was. I see students of mine drawn to, you know, anime, but very similar, where it's something that they, and that I grew really attracted to and then copied. It was kind of the first way that I started to draw was copying comic books. Mm-hmm. Batman, especially the villains, Joker.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering also if film influences your, I know that you're a great cinemaphile, that you love film. So how does, I mean, that's such a visual form. It must have had an impact on your painting.
Absolutely. I mean, just in talking about, you know, the first name that comes to mind is Stanley Kubrick.
Mm-hmm.
The colors, there's really clearly a color palette in those films. And when I was an art student, I remember watching them, just taking so much from that.
I think as artists, we just find inspiration everywhere, and I mean everything should feed our art, don't you? Just walking through the day, or you know, a photograph or whatever, I know that it's something that's always there and always feeding you the world.
We never know where it'll come from.
Right. Thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
I hope everyone out there will check out the artwork of Kevin Gardner. It's at KevinNealGardner.com, and that's Neal spelled N-E-A-L, and Gardner with a D. We'll post the links to that and his work on our Facebook page. Until next time, be good to one another.